In this lesson, we're going to learn about optimization with more than one constraint. And in particular, we're going to look at the example of utility maximization subject to two constraints and what we consider what are called inequality constraints. So in this case, we're going to have the problem of maximizing u of x and y, our utility function, subject to the following. X plus y must be less than or equal to 20. And x plus 2y must be less than or equal to 24. Each of these equations by themselves could serve as a standard utility maximization subject to a budget constraint problem. So we could do each one separately. And what we're going to learn is a technique which is very much like that. So the first step we want to do with the Lagrange problem like this is it's always best to graph the two constraints and see what kind of problem we're dealing with. So if we look at our two constraints, the first constraint, x plus y equals 20, can be graphed as the following blue line. Now that assumes that the constraint is strictly binding. That means x plus y equals 20. In which case, our problem says we must be on that line or we must be somewhere inside that line. The second constraint says that x plus 2y equals 24. So now we're making the second constraint what we call binding by making sure that it does in fact equal 24. So that is graphed as the following red line, which has a vertical intercept of 12 and a horizontal intercept of 24. Now note that the two lines cross. So that means we have a region where the red line lies below the blue line and a region where the blue line lies below the red line. And the problem says that we must satisfy both of these constraints. So that means we must be on or inside both of these lines. So by quick observation, we can see that if we start at 12, it's the lower of the two. Oops, let's get out of there. And we can see that along the yellow line, along the red line with the yellow highlighting, we have the region where the red line is inside the blue line. So any answer that's on the red line automatically satisfies the inequality constraint for the blue. Then we can see that in this region, the blue line lies underneath the red line. So any point that satisfies our problem that's on the blue line in this region is underneath the red line and therefore satisfies our constraint. Third, we have the intersection of the two lines as a possible solution. So how we're going to approach the problem is we are going to do it in a stepwise manner. Since we know how to do Lagrange, we can simply do each one separately. So if we take and solve using just the blue line and we get an answer such as A, then that answer is valid and satisfies our problem. Then if we use the red line and we get an answer such as B, then B also satisfies our problem. Or we could get the rare case where we get C. We happen to find the answer lies right where the two lines intersect. So how do we best approach this? Well, let's suppose we just use the blue line. We maximize utility subject to the first constraint and we find that the answer is a point such as here. We'll call that E. Well, if the blue line gives us an answer Z, it's above the red line, so therefore it's not a valid answer. So we can reject that answer. If it turns out that when we do the red line, we get an answer such as B, then we know the red line is the binding constraint. Alternatively, we have maximized utility using the blue line and we got an answer such as A. And we wonder if that's the valid answer since it meets our constraint. We test it against the red line and the red line gives us an answer such as F. Well, in which case the red line answer is invalid and we can throw that one out. Well, suppose we do the optimization with the red line and we get point F. So then we reject that and we try the optimization with the blue line and we get E. In both cases, doing one constraint at a time violates the other constraint. If that's the case, then the answer must be at C. So let's try this out to see how it works. Once we've done one, it'll become rather obvious. Okay, so here's our problem, except now we'll give an explicit utility function. X times Y will be our utility function. It's one we've seen before, a very simple Cobb-Douglas. So what we'll do is we'll set up the full Lagrange for this problem, which is Lagrange equals XY, our objective function, plus, since we have two constraints, we'll have two Lagrange multipliers, lambda 1, 20 minus X minus Y, plus lambda 2 times 24 minus X minus 2Y. Now, to give a little interpretation about the lambdas, or the Lagrange multipliers. So the rule for the Lagrange is we maximize our objective function XY subject to adding 0 to the equations, right? Now, the purpose of the Lagrange multiplier is to ensure that the trick works. So let's suppose that the first constraint isn't a binding constraint. That means that using it wouldn't have mattered since the second constraint is the one that's binding. In which case, if X plus Y is less than 20, automatically lambda 1 is 0 to guarantee the trick works. Alternatively, if the first constraint is binding but the second constraint is non-binding, so X plus 2Y is less than 24, then we also failed to add 0 with the second or third term, so that automatically makes lambda 2 equal to 0. So that's to ensure that a trick works. So how do we go about solving this? Well, it sounds a little technical, but actually it's not really that bad once you're familiar with using the basics of Lagrange. So what we're going to do is we're going to use a trial and error method, and we're going to do it in steps. So step one, set lambda 2 equal to 0. That is an assumption. So what we're going to do, we don't know what the correct answer is yet. But let's assume that we think that the correct answer is that only lambda 1, or only the first constraint, matters. So if we set lambda 2 to 0, the Lagrange becomes simply xy plus lambda 1 times 20 minus x minus y. Well, that's a pretty simple Lagrange to solve. So we take L sub x equals y minus lambda 1 equals 0. L sub y equals x minus lambda 1 equals 0. L sub lambda 1 is equal to 20 minus x minus y equals 0. From the first two equations, we see that x equals lambda 1, y equals lambda 1, so y equals x. This we can put into our third equation and find a value for either x or y. So let's solve for x. So that says that 20 minus x minus y, which is now x, equals 0, or 20 equals 2x, x equals 10, therefore y equals 10. So that's the answer when the first constraint is binding. So that's a valid answer as far as the first constraint is concerned, but what about the second constraint? So we have to test it. So what we do is we check. And the second constraint said that x plus 2y had to be less than or equal to 24. So let's test it. We have x equals 10 plus 2 times y, which is 10, equals 30. So that fails our test. So the assumption that the first constraint mattered, or setting lambda 2 to 0, was the right decision, turns out to be wrong. So now we try step 2, which is to ignore the first constraint and only look at the second. So step 2, we set lambda 1 equal to 0, and the constraint Lagrange becomes x times y plus lambda 2 times 24 minus x minus 2y, and that is now the Lagrange we will solve. So it also is a fairly straightforward Lagrange. So with respect to x is y minus 2 lambda 2, or sorry, minus, oops, little mistake there, y minus lambda 2 equals 0. L sub y is x minus 2 lambda 2 equals 0, and L sub lambda 2 is 24 minus x minus 2 times y equals 0. So from the first equation, we know that y equals lambda. In the second equation, we know that x equals 2 times, and it's lambda 2, lambda 2. By substitution, we now know that x equals 2 times y. This relationship we can substitute into our third equation and solve for x or y. In this case, we'll solve for y. So that means that 24 minus x, which is replaced by 2y, minus 2y equals 0. Collecting terms, that says that 24 equals 4y. Therefore, y must equal 24 over 4 is 6. From the equation above, we know that x is 2 times y. So x equals 12. So 6 and 12 is the answer when we use the second constraint. And like we did with the first constraint, we should check our answer against the constraint we ignored. So the check. X plus y must be less than or equal to 20. So we have 6x plus 12y is equal to 18, which is less than 20, and that satisfies our constraint. So when we ignored the first constraint, we found that the answer violated the second constraint. When we ignored the second constraint, we got a value of x and y that violated the second constraint. When we ignored the first constraint, the values of x and y from the second constraint satisfy the first constraint, so therefore the second option turned out to be correct. So let's look at this again in our graph. So on our first answer, we had x equals 10, y equals 10. So y was 10, and x is 10. And that was the answer we got from step 1. And that turned out to be invalid because, as you can see, this solution lies above the valid region, which is given by this part, shaded by yellow. So our second answer was y equals 6 and x equals 12. So x equals 12 would be here, and y equals 6 is here. So this answer, right in this point, represents the answer we get when we just look at the second constraint. So this is the answer we got from step 2. So now we know that the second constraint, that x plus 2y less than or equal to 24, is in fact the binding constraint. And in the case of the first constraint, x plus y less than or equal to 20, turned out to be non-binding. Now if we put in the appropriate indifference curves that go with this problem, what we found was that the level curve for the first constraint would look like this. So that would be xy equals 100. And the second constraint we did, our level curve, which is convex, was tangent to the second constraint right here, which gives us xy equals 72. So this is the highest of the two level curves that we can reach that satisfies both constraints. So that is a simple application of what's known as a Kuhn-Tucker problem. Now you can read about the Kuhn-Tucker conditions in the notes, and you can read about it further in the textbooks. This is a very complex technique, and I have just given you a brief introduction to the inequality constraint problem. So for the problems you're going to see in this course, they will be problems that you're very familiar with, where you know what the answer would be when there's only a single constraint and you know how to solve it, and we just modify it slightly by adding a second constraint. The possible set of answers in Kuhn-Tucker can be quite immense and complex, and we will only just scratch the surface. So let's stop there.